Please do take your seats. And if you do have a Bible, we're going to have our reading. And then after this reading, Luke's going to come straight up and bring us the message from this passage. The passage is 1 Samuel chapter 25, and it's on page 297 in the Red Church Bible. Now, this is the second of a mini-series, I suppose, looking at heroines in the Bible, specifically the Old Testament. And this tonight, we're going to be led through the story of Abigail. Some of you might be familiar with the story, some of you may not. But the purpose of reading this passage is to help us become familiar with it. It's a long one, so do please follow along to help you, and I'll try and lead us through it. So 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. And they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. A certain man in Maon, who had property there at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, "Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours.' Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not ill-treat them, and the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your servants and they will tell you. Therefore be favorable towards my men, since we come at festival time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them." When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" David's men turned round and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, "Each of you strap on your sword." So they did, and David strapped on his as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not ill-treat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day they were a wall around us, the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. As she came riding on her donkey into the mountain ravine, there was David and his men descending towards her, and she met them. David had just said, "It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servants, I did not see the men my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies fall, and all who are intent on harming my lord be like Nabal. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my lord, be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my lord, because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my lord success, remember your servant." David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought to him and said, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request." When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. She told him nothing at all until daybreak. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to the Lord, who has upheld my case against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head." Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "I am your servant and am ready to serve you and wash the feet of my lord's servants." Abigail quickly got on a donkey and, attended by her 5 female servants, went with David's messengers and became his wife. David had also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were both his wives. But Saul had given his daughter Michal, David's wife, to Paltiel, son of Laish, who was from Gelim. So he reads God's words. Well done for staying with it. Let me just pray for Luke as he comes. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you that this is your word. It is an account of historical accuracy. And we pray that as Luke opens this passage up for us, you will help him. Help him to be clear. And help us on a warm evening to stay attentive, to hear your words through your servants. So we commit this time to you now in your name. Amen.
As Chris said, tonight we're going to be looking at the story of Abigail, another heroine in the Bible. So a couple of weeks ago we started the series by looking at Rahab. Tonight we're going to looking at Abigail. So Abigail's an absolute hero, an absolute heroine, because she steps in, she swoops in at just the right time. She saves the day. She literally saves lives. as she prevents a massacre from happening. Abigail steps in just in time to prevent God's chosen king from avenging himself with needless bloodshed. And my hope during the sermon tonight is that you'll be thinking, wow, Abigail, what a woman. But then by the end, you'll be thinking like, wow, King Jesus is amazing. My hope is that we'll be able to make that connection together, and we'll be thinking that by the end. Wow, King Jesus is amazing. So some background. Near the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, God's people cry out to him, and they say, Lord, give us a king. Give us a king to rule over us. And God gives them Saul to be their king. But the problem is that Saul shows in his actions that he doesn't love God. He doesn't honor God, and he doesn't obey God. And God says to him, right, you will not be king anymore. Someone else will be king. Someone who does love me, and who does honor me, and does obey me. And so that's what God does. He anoints David, the king. And so from then on, David is on the run from Saul, who wants to kill him, who hates him. And while David is on the run in the wilderness, he experiences a number of tests. If David is going to be king, what kind of king is he going to be? What kind of kingdom will he have? King Saul was a vengeful and violent, angry king. What about David? What kind of king is he going to be? So let's look at the passage together. So in verses 1 to 9, David sends some of his men to Nabal, who owns thousands of sheep and goats, and he asks him for some help. So look down at verse 7. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time, David says. When your shepherds were with us, we didn't mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. So ask your servants, and they'll tell you. Therefore, be favorable toward my men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. David asks Nabal for help. We helped you out. But could you do a favor for us as well? And they wait for Nabal's answer. And Nabal sneers. Who's this David? He says in verse 10. Never heard of him, David. Remember, Nabal is surly and mean in his dealings, it said in verse 3, in his introduction. So verse 10, he says, Who's this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've slaughtered for my shearers and give it to a man coming from who knows where? Who's this David? Nabal is a mean and a wicked man. And so how does David, God's chosen king, how does he respond? Look at verse 13. He says to his men, each of you, strap on your sword. Get your swords. That's it. I'm not taking that. And 400 of them arm themselves. It's going to be bad. It's going to be a massacre. Disaster is looming. It's going to be a bloodbath. God's chosen king is about to go on a rampage, it seems. Just like King Saul. God's chosen king is about to establish his kingdom through bloodshed and violence. And so here, when it looks like it's going to be awful and David is going to go on a rampage, here's where we come to the turning point in the story. And here's where we properly meet the hero, the heroine, Abigail. Remember, verse 3 said that she's intelligent and beautiful. She's wise. And she sees what's about to happen. And look what she does in verse 18. Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she didn't tell her husband, Nabal. So Abigail sprints down the road to Piggy's, and she orders platters and platters of sandwiches and pastries. And then she runs over the road to Pizza Express and orders loads and loads of pizzas. And then she waits for the lights to change. And then she dashes diagonally across the road to Lalakash, and she orders curries and naan breads and rices. Loads and loads of food for King David and his men. Abigail acts quickly. She intercepts David as he's on his way to have his vengeance. Before he begins his reign with bloodshed and vengeance and murder, she has to stop him. And it's what she says to David, Abigail, this heroine, it's what she says to David that I want us to focus on. Because Abigail's a hero. She gets off her donkey and she bows down to David. Let's read her speech again from verse 24. She fell at his feet and said, "Pardon your servant, my lord. Let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man, Nabal. He's just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him." Imagine that. Imagine Nabal's dedication at church. "I'm Nabal. Oh, that's a lovely name. What does it mean?" It means idiot. Abigail says, still in verse 25, "As for me, your servant, I didn't see the men my Lord sent. And now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my Lord be like Nabal. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my Lord, be given to the men who follow you." She's good. Abigail is good. What a woman. Let's read on. What else does she say? Let's read from verse 28. "Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord, because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he'll hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised him concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant." Abigail is a hero, a heroine. She's bold, she's humble, she's courageous. And she tells David what David seems to have forgotten. So here are a few things. Firstly, Abigail tells David that God will establish his kingdom his way. That's what Abigail says in verse 28. Have a look. "The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord." Verse 29. "Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God." Verse 30. "When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised him concerning him, and has appointed him ruler over Israel." Abigail has no doubt whatsoever, basically, that God promised David that he would be king. God promised, therefore David will be king. Abigail has no doubt about that. She trusts the Lord completely. God will establish his kingdom. If God says he's going to establish his kingdom, he will do it. He'll do it his way. You know, maybe David was exhausted from being on the run from Saul. Maybe he was tired of hiding in caves with his men, tired of running around the country with a gang of ragamuffins. Maybe he got doubtful. Maybe he got impatient. We don't know. But he decides to take it into his own hands, to ransack and slaughter people, to grasp at the throne with bloodshed. Maybe David forgot that God will establish his kingdom, his way. Paul writes in the New Testament about David's descendant in the letter to the Ephesians. And he writes in chapter 1, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name, every title, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head of everything. God has established his kingdom, his way, through Jesus. Because King David's descendant, King Jesus, has been raised to life, never to die again, and is seated on his throne right now. God has established his throne. He said he would, and he has. Maybe David forgot that God would. Jesus is seated on his throne right now, and so therefore, to all of us here tonight who are part of the CBC family here, therefore, preach him. Preach Christ. Preach Jesus as King. Can I encourage you guys here tonight to recommit tonight to proclaiming and heralding Jesus as King to others? God has established his kingdom, and he has done it through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings, Jesus. And so in a world right now with kings with small, powerful buttons on their desks, Jesus is seated on his eternal, powerful throne right now, established forever. So don't give up proclaiming Jesus as King. I think many of us come to church on a Sunday night, end of the week, beginning of a new one, and we come to church tired. Do you? You come to church on a Sunday tired? Tired of the Christian life? Tired of telling people about Jesus? Tired of the aches and the pains and the burdens and the trials and the suffering? And tired of being a witness to King Jesus? Tired. But we must carry on. We must carry on proclaiming that Jesus is the King. And we must go from here tonight strengthened in the knowledge that God has established his kingdom. He has done it. And secondly, Abigail encourages David to leave vengeance to the Lord and to endure contempt. When Nabal rejects David, mocks him, sneers at him, treats him with scorn and contempt, David sees red. He is furious. Strap on your swords. He is a man bent on violence. He wants his vengeance. He thinks, how dare he treat me with contempt? And Abigail reminds him to endure it. Endure it and leave vengeance to the Lord. Abigail says to David in verse 29, the lives of your enemies he will hurl away. He'll hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed of having avenged himself. It's almost scary how close King David, God's promised king, how close he came to having his vengeance. So close to being exactly like King Saul before him, grasping at the throne with bloodshed. And so I think with this story, the Israelites are meant to look back at King David and read it and say, well, David passed this test, but not really. It wasn't a glorious triumph for David in the face of temptation. Abigail stepped in. Abigail saved the day. If it wasn't for Abigail, it could have been awful. It would have been awful. And so as great as King David was in so many ways, he wasn't the true David, was he? He wasn't the king that God's people needed, because David was a sinner just like any other man. Any other man that came before him, every other man that came after him. David was a sinner, just like every other man. Except one. King Jesus would come, and he would come as God's chosen king, and he too would be met with contempt and scorn and mockery. And like Nabal in our story said, who is this David? Who's this David? He means nothing to me. Just like Nabal, people would say, who's this Jesus? Who's this Jesus? He's no king of mine. But Jesus didn't rally his enemies, didn't rally his armies, sorry, and take his vengeance. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, when they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. And instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus knew that when he came as king, he would be rejected and he would be treated with contempt. But he entrusted himself to God. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly, the Lord. He left vengeance to the Lord. That wasn't why Jesus came. Isaiah 53 says he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. Jesus endured contempt. He didn't take his vengeance. He left that with the Lord for another time. Jesus endured contempt for claiming to be God's chosen king. And so it occurs to me that there are many of you here on a Sunday night who have been Christians for a long time. You've been Christians for decades. It's great. And so when you're with the church family here on a Sunday night, we applaud you and we love you. And, you know, like we were hearing this morning, in Titus, you know, older men, older women, we love you. We need you. A healthy church needs you. But then you leave here, and I hope no one's ever said this to you, but do people say, what a waste? What a waste of all those, what a waste of a life? Do people ever say that to you? Maybe they think it. I don't know. What a waste. You've been a Christian for how many years? You've been a pastor for how many years? When you could have done that, when you could have been that, what a waste. Why would you ever go to church? Christians are hypocrites. Now, I'm guessing that when people say stuff like that to you, you don't immediately go out and slash their tires. I hope not. But it does hurt, doesn't it? It does sting. When people mock the Lord Jesus, when they mock us for loving the Lord Jesus and for being loyal to the Lord Jesus, it stings, doesn't it? And it hurts. And I think that for us, as servants of Christ Jesus, King Jesus, I think that entrusting it to God who judges justly and leaving vengeance to the Lord means trusting that we will be proved right in the end, that we just need to endure. The whole world treats its king, its rightful king, King Jesus, with contempt. And so we've got to trust that by allying ourselves with King Jesus, we will be proved right in the end, either in this life or the next. We will be seen to be on the side of the true King, King Jesus. Endure contempt. Hold on to that. Endure contempt and leave vengeance to the Lord. We see this in a very powerful and quite a scary way in our story. David was right to listen to Abigail, because in verse 38 it says Nabal was having a banquet like a king. And then in verse 38 it says about 10 days later the Lord struck Nabal and he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to the Lord who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head." Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. So David honors Abigail. He asks her to become his wife. Abigail was a hero. She was courageous. She was beautiful. She was wise. Abigail is a heroine. And she's a hero for reminding David of what God's king should be like. And by looking at Abigail's story, we're reminded of a king who endured the scorn and the contempt of those who didn't acknowledge him as king, even to the point of being crucified. But that king, King Jesus, is alive, and he's seated on his throne. His kingdom is established forever. His kingdom is established forever. Let's just be quiet for a minute, and let's just pray quietly in our hearts. Before we sing and take communion together.